Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon.
This is Tony Williams.
And Chauncey Williams with What Do I Do Now, your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success.
Okay, Chauncey, we made it to another week of the grind.
Oh, yes, of the grind. Even though it's summertime, I'm still grinding. I'm like, people say, are you enjoying your break? I'm like,
what break?
What's that?
No.
When you're involved in your community, there's no breaks.
No, it's constant, man. You know, we did have a little downtime last week. We was able to enjoy the final of the NBA.
Yes, right. Yeah, Cleveland. We got the championship.
It was beautiful. It was truly amazing, man. Yes, I didn't rest. I couldn't sleep. Yeah. I was so excited.
They say LeBron took the trophy to the restaurant today.
Oh, I could imagine, man.
He taking it like it's a Stanley Cup everywhere he go.
Right.
But I mean, it is like a king's crown because they haven't had a championship in like 60-something years. So
it was, man.
And he like, I promise y'all this. Here, in this store, and when I go to the barbershop, y'all go ahead and rub it. Feel it.
Yeah, because this is for the people of Cleveland, so they need to see it in the public, you know. And, I listen to the sports talks, and folks just still don't want to give LeBron credit. They still want to, you know, get a brother a knock for making a decision to go to Miami for that period of time. But it's sort of like the prodigal son.
He grew up.
Okay.
He grew up when he was away.
Right. And he came back.
Came back with two championships, know how to win something.
Is that worth something?
Played for Pat Riley, mentored by somebody that got the five rings already. It's like, hey, this is what I do.
Right. And did it the hard way. They came 3-1 down, okay, against the team that had the best record in the NBA. And those guys never gave up.
They never gave up.
I've watched it on NBA TV, watched all the behind-the-scenes stuff that went on during his journey.
Yes.
And, he gets the negative in the press about him and his antics, about how he pout, how he, the faces he make on the court. But the guy is driven to the point of excellence, and he's trying to bring everybody else to that level, and he just does it in a way that the common person cannot process.
And I just look at his life. I'm going to just talk about LeBron James' personal life. He never been in trouble except when he bought that Hummer. That's okay. The last time he been in trouble.
Okay.
When Nike gave him that $90 million in high school, and he got that Hummer. I don't know anything else.
Nothing, man. I mean, the guy, I watched him in the parade, had his wife, his kids, experiencing, an event that could possibly be once in a lifetime. He had his family with him, man.
Yep, that's
right. And, that just shows the character of this guy.
High character.
It's not all about money, because he got more money now than he can ever spend.
That's right. Okay? He even gave his away. He didn't give $42 million away to kids in his community to go
in
to college.
His community, man. Is that amazing?
Man, that's what you call a blessed life, just when you want to give back. And that's, when I grew up, I didn't really idolize athletes like that. Like, I want to be like him. I liked the way they played, but I ain't never want to be like anybody. But if growing up again as a little kid, if I was a little kid, I would be like, I want to be like LeBron. Give my money away. Help people,
man.
And just be, an icon to the point where it's like, hey, man, I'm about to help my friends. Kids go to college for free. I ain't go to college.
That's awesome.
LeBron didn't even go to college. He's like, I'm going to give y'all the opportunity that I didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And that's amazing. And just speaking of college and getting opportunities, we just had somebody from our community walk across that stage. 2-3-1 over everything. 2-3-1.
Hey, baby.
Deontay Davis, second round, 31st pick, 2-3-1. So I look at, that's a blessing in itself.
It is. It is. You know,
even though they had him projected so high, and when you look at it, it's just a lot of factors that go into that. I just seen a lot of places he could have been. He would have fit much better.
Yeah, I watched the start of it. Jay Billis, who is a NBA analyst, had his top 10 picks of the draft.
Yes.
And Deontay was number 10.
Hmm.
Okay. So the folks that was, analyzing the process of the draft were somewhat amazed, surprised, taken aback.
Then he had one of the best agents too.
Oh yeah,
old
Drew.
School cat. Yeah, good
Drew.
Guy.
Matter of fact, he's the guy from the Warriors, Klay Thompson. He's his agent, Kawhi Leonard out of San Antonio. he has some high profile athletes as well as actors. The guy is well respected in his field of work, and I don't think it, you know, had any reflection on the work that he has done for the kid. Me personally, I would have to say there was probably some outside influences that resulted in him going 31. I don't have any evidence to say, but based on what I've seen and heard, there probably were some things that didn't sit well with a lot of NBA executives.
Because they didn't make the final decision, the general manager and executive.
Oh, absolutely.
What they call it, the panic room, or the not the green room, but it's like another
the war room.
The war room,
the war room.
Yeah, I call it the panic button.
And it could be for certain cases.
Yeah.
You know, and the kid was dejected at the end of the night. You know, I stayed up and I watched his short interview. And I had mixed feelings about it for the simple reason is, yes, I understand his disappointment in not being – not going as projected. Fact of the matter is, you were still picked in the NBA.
That's right. You still picked in the NBA. Who else could say that in our town rocking around that? That's alive.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't like he never got picked. So.
From a public school.
Yeah. Public school.
Come from his level, his lifestyle that he had, and just working and working and working and becoming who he is today. That's a great example to kids in this community that you can go from a certain stage in life. And you can make it to a whole level where now let's break the numbers down. We're talking about a Division One. It's 300 Division One NCAA schools.
Schools.
And as you know, it's the elite. You got some elite schools, but it's 300 top notches.
Okay. The number of players on each team.
12.
Okay. So you 12 do the math.
12. So you're looking at about 30,000 kids.
Okay.
Roughly. Now, when you're looking at that, all these kids, you're looking at. It's about 30,000. So you're looking at all those kids, you're seeing that, hey, I'm 31 out of 30,000, 3,000, or the top 3,000. Because, you know, they're going to look at 3,000. They ain't going to look at everybody. Look at the starting, look at five.
Mm-hmm.
Five from 300 teams. Right? That's 1,500. So now you broke that number all the way down. So you're looking at 1,500 people.
Okay.
And now go down to your position. You're looking at one.
You reduce that even
out
further.
Of 300 people.
Right.
But then now you're like, okay, 300. You're like, well, who was number one in the nation? Michigan State was number one in the nation for 7 weeks.
Yes, they
were.
So
who else was number one in the nation? So he was a factor.
Number of teams.
Yeah, he was a factor on that team of being number one in the nation. So you're looking at, it was probably eight teams that really was consistent throughout the year. So now that the draft people look at those eight teams, like who were the key players? He was a key player with them 7 points he averaged. In a significant team and played a significant role. I remember when they played Wisconsin, he shut the best player down.
Right.
He checked them.
Yeah, and you know, and playing in Izzo's system
is hard.
You don't get to showcase your talent. All the talents that you have because
he's like a Popovich.
Right. When he sends you out on the floor, there are certain things that he wants you to do.
That's all you can.
That's
do.
Your role.
You can't do nothing else. You setting the screen for Valentine. You roll into the basket. And if a play drawn with a guard penetrates, you can shoot the free throw line jumper if I let you.
Right.
That's
block
what the
shots.
Is. Yep. Block
set
shot.
Picks and and hustle.
No, that's it.
So
out rebound and out tough somebody. That's Tom Izzo's system. So he was in that system and it marginalized him.
Yeah, it did.
It made it true. Because he got way more talent than what he displayed.
But he was a freshman. Okay. So you know, if you fast forward 4 years to a senior, watch the minutes that he gave, I think it was Costello, that's sort of like the reward system that he puts in place. Right, wrong, or indifferent, that's what he does. He's been successful at it. But like you say, it did marginalize the skills that Deontay had.
Yep.
But I think, you know, those that understand basketball seen the upside to the kid, provided he's in the right category. And again, we can speculate on the drop as far as the top 10. Can't change it.
Okay.
Can't do anything about it. You have to accept it, prepare yourself to make the most of it, and be thankful that you have an opportunity to do that. And don't get caught up in the hype of what other folks say about you and the kind of money you're going to make. You're in the league. Now you got to work your butt off to prove that 30 other picks were not as good as you. And if you do it the right way, you will be rewarded for doing it the right way. I truly believe that in the NBA, because they don't hand you nothing. Not at all.
You're right. They don't hand you nothing. Then just also talking about, for this, for the young kids out here, like, you got dreams and aspirations of going to the next level. Watch what you do on social media. Every step.
Man, I'm everything, glad you brought that
everything
up.
You post. Because I do it. I personally, everything I post is going to either be associated with my business, associated with what I do in the community, associated with my family. And it's always going to be something. It's going to be a scripture.
Positive.
It's going to be a picture, probably me with a team, or it's going to be speaking somewhere. You don't want to, you don't want to put your feelings out there, your emotions, your relationships, pictures of you in awkward positions.
Okay.
With the wrong crowd.
What kind of folks you be with, okay.
Doing the wrong thing. That lowers your stock. That lowers your stock in itself. And you could be a good person, but a picture is 1,000 words.
It will question your character.
Because you got to think. Now, we're talking now, basketball, you know, you love it growing up. Football, you love it growing up. You have a passion for it. But then you get to a point and extent when it becomes a financial decision on what you posted. Now it's a business.
Right.
So it's like Facebook now, you're looking at it now, and social media is like the overall of who you are, the value of your life. The pictures you post and things you do is how much you value yourself, like an actual credit report for a teenager.
Right. And it's not a diary. It's not a diary that you write in
and
you close it up and you put it in your drawer. It's not a diary.
Social media is not a diary. It's a way to publicize the things you're doing to show your character and your integrity. So if you have a character integrity that's not in line with what somebody think, or you probably in your feelings in one instance and you post a picture, or somebody else posts a picture for that one particular time, and now it's shared and it's on the media, and you and somebody else commented, or you in a picture with somebody, that character's not high enough, and they put some finger signs up or something, you don't know what. You don't know what you suspect to.
And it is public viewing, all right? Anybody and everybody can use it. And we've spoke about it before on the show, even when it comes to you applying for a job.
That's right. It's okay. And the unfortunate thing about it is, I didn't grow up in the era as a teenager where they had social media. Because I know that they've seen my social media. If I was a kid, I would have made some of them same mistakes.
Probably.
You know?
Probably.
And that's the sad thing, that this generation has to grow up like that. They can't live a life where they can make their mistakes.
Right, where it's not on display for the world to see.
And it's going to cost them millions of dollars. They don't have that.
Nope. But that doesn't mean, it doesn't give you the right not to think about the repercussions of what you post, who you post with on Facebook. Okay? Yeah, it may seem innocent to the individual, but in the eyes of folks that make decisions about your future, about whether or not your character is above reproach, can be seen in a whole different light.
You're not lying. And when I look at it, like you said, for myself, it's potential jobs, it's potential organizations that want to work with me, or they want to do things. And they say, I know him. You know, they look and say, okay, he's doing that. He's doing such and such. That's what he does. And that's how you want to be. You want to be labeled on your vision. If you're using social media, I use it totally towards my vision on how can I connect with somebody else that's doing what I'm doing, and how can I make my life better.
Right.
So try to bring out, think about all the positive things about yourself as a person, and everything that you're working on, write in the diary. Write it in your own personal book, or go to your Bible or something. Keep that personal. Your relationships, problems, all that. Just keep that away. I just want to say that to our audience today.
Yeah, because they've given our young folks so many avenues in which to display their thoughts, their feelings, their aspirations, how they view the world, and some of them don't really understand the full implications of doing it.
Yeah.
And you know, just like the sexting, okay, ooh. That's another whole element that can really damage our young folks for life.
It's a felony now.
Okay, yeah, it's a felony. When we know of personal cases where individuals felt it was an innocent act.
Yeah, and I know before you came on already, I'm gonna share this story because I know we're going to be talking about charge-offs.
We're going to try to anyway.
Yeah, but I just really want to share this story. And I'm not going to be too graphic in what I'm going to tell because we're on the radio. But I remember my sister, I was in about the second grade. She was like in the ninth, I think. And we lived downtown close to Craig, I think, in the house. And we had a big attic. And she stayed in the attic. And you talk about the idea of sexting, where you can mess up. You can inbox somebody a picture.
Right.
That is of a nude or of the genitalia of the male or female.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister, she had some art that was of the male genitalia all in her bedroom in the attic.
Okay.
So my parents never really went up to the attic. So one day my dad is calling for my sister, and he go in the room, and he see all these pictures of genitalia of a male.
Uh-oh.
Now, she being a young lady, but that's in the 80s, the early 1980s.
Okay.
And that's a form of sexting.
Yeah.
That could have been against the law. My daddy went off. He tore all them pictures off the wall. So, but then think about it. Think about your kid right now, audience. And they out there putting certain things out, cursing, pictures of them, revealing things. You can't do like my father did and tear them pictures down off the attic. Because, see, and this the attic is in a room that you got to go up to some stairs that he didn't really want to go up. Man, when you go on the internet, you're like, oh, once you put it on there one time, there's no deleting. There's no moving it away.
The World Wide Web. That's what WW stands for, right?
Yeah.
World Wide Web. So that means that could possibly be shared anywhere in the world.
Anywhere in the world. And then just thinking about our topic today, I know I was talking to a client about a week ago about charge-offs, how to deal with charge-offs in your credit reports. You can get a charge off fast off your credit report.
Okay.
Then you can get a negative picture or a negative comment off your social media.
Okay.
So we got some evidence off. So going switching gears, just I can get a charge off. I can change your negative charge off history on a credit card or a loan faster than I can get rid of a negative image off your social media or some words or statements you can say. Isn't that odd?
That is.
I can give you help. Well, financially, I can't do that. If you put a picture of something, I can't erase that history.
No.
We can erase a negative financial history.
Yeah. But
and you can build again.
Yeah. But a negative personal image or picture. Yeah.
Somebody tag you to something, then they share.
Man. Yeah. It's like shooting a gun. Once the bullet is gone out of the chamber, you can't get it back. I don't care if it hits the intended target or not. But it's one of those things where once it's out there, it's out there.
It's out there.
There's no getting it back. And we didn't mean to
go
off into some social issues, but we felt compelled to share that with our audience that, you know, listen to us every week.
Yep.
And trust us, we will definitely get back on topic. But today was just one of those days where we felt like being a part of this community, there were some things that we needed to talk about. Even as we sit here now.
Yes. Because I care about this community. I care about every kid, every child in this community, every person. Everything I'm involved in is about really making somebody else's life better around me. That's what I believe.
Because we've experienced the other side of it.
Yes, and I've seen the other side, and so I don't like it.
If we can help anybody not make those kind of mistakes in life, be it a behavioral, a financial, credit issue, I mean, that's the kind of message we want to get over to.
That's right. That's what we're trying to do, let you know that we care about your kids, too.
Because all that can life, right?
Man, it can mess you. You can't get a job.
Yeah.
Or you make less money because of you in a situation where they can't trust you. Like, oh, this looks like this person's in a gang.
Okay.
You're like, looks like? What does it look like? What does a gang look like?
Okay. Yeah.
You can have a picture, but I might be in a picture with somebody that's in a gang. So now I'm guilty by association.
Guilty by association.
That hurts me. So I got to tell people, like, don't bring no cameras around me.
No.
Don't do that. Don't take no pictures of me.
Nope, not.
Even if I'm in your presence, no, that's not the right environment for a picture. I need this environment.
Right.
I'm doing such and such in my life. Even if you got to screen your pictures that you take, get like that.
Yeah, be selective about who you take pictures with, because, you know, ultimately that stuff can wind up on, like you said, social media and people that want to give you a good job can look at it and say, well, I don't know. You know, that looks kind of shady to me. It looks very questionable. You got guns and alcohol and weed and gang signs, and it's like, come on, dude, it's not gonna get you where you need to go.
Not at all. So it's rough that we have to deal with that, but that's something we have to deal with. But just trying to get in today, just checking out the facts about charge-offs, settling for less than what you owe, handling judgments against you, and just dealing with debts you can't make go away. So just first off, explain a charge-off. A charge-off is when you have, it's like a, I call it a super debt. Mm-hmm. Charge-off, like you could be 30 days late, you could be 60 days late, you get a notice, right? You could be right. 90 days late. Then you get to 120 days and 150,
180.
Now you charged off. No, charge-off is that the people that hold the account, they know that they can't put it in their like promissory notes, where they know they're not making no money on this account no more. They feel like they can't draw no interest no more. So what they do is they give you an F.
Okay.
They put it on your credit report and they give you an F as a consumer. So
right.
It's on your credit report and it's negative. And what happens is the interest keeps on building up, and the late fees and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's charged off on their account. And what they do, they have insurance where they like, all right, well, this person's not going to pay. But unfortunately, what happens to you is now as soon as it goes on there, it's like all these, they start selling to these companies, these collection right. agencies.
Collection agencies they call, pennies on the dollar.
Yep, they call. And then you get to the point when you like, man. And then every agency they sell it to, it end up being on your credit report.
Right.
If they sell it to four agencies, now you got that account on there, and you got three other times they sold to somebody else. So now your credit score has been drug in the mud off just one account that you charged off.
Mm-hmm.
And see, what happens is when people get in situations like that, Tony, they just be like, all right, I'm good. I'll just let sit and wait it out.
Ignore it. Yeah.
I'll just ignore it and then see what happens. But that's the worst thing you could do, because it's lowering your credit score. And then the longer you stay on there, the worse your credit score gets.
Mm-hmm.
The worse it gets.
It's an anchor on your credit score.
Yeah, it's pulling you down.
And one of the things about that, those charge-offs, is that if, say, for instance, it's a charge card, and they charge it off.
Yes.
Then if you get your credit report, you need to make sure that it says zero balance to the credit card company that charged it off. Now, it may show up in another category from the collection agency as the amount in which they're going to go after.
Yeah.
But they can't still say the credit card company can't hold the balance and the collection agency hold a balance for the same two charges. Yeah,
but they do. This is what they do.
And that's why you got to dispute them.
That's why this is what it happens. Say if I had a car, here's an example of the client I had just had. He had a credit card that was $1,800, okay?
Okay.
And he said it was on his credit report for $1,800. But then it was on there for almost an extra $1,000. Then he had it on there. It said charged off, unpaid collection, zero.
Mm. So they sold it again.
Yeah. So it's like all these accounts is on here on his credit report. So it's like you looking, you're like, man, all these attempts at somebody trying to collect the debt. So then it gets to the point and you like, what I'm going to do? What do I do? How do I deal with this? What's the expectation? And that's the first thing you need to go into, knowing who's holding the debt right now.
Right.
That's the first thing you need to figure out. Who's holding the debt? Who's contacting you? So whoever's contacting you, you look at the debt that you owe. And then the second thing is to look at the statute of limitations. That's very important because mm-hmm. certain debts age out depending yep. on the state. So you're like, all right, this date has aged out. I could probably dispute this one. I could fight this one. So looking into that, you're like, okay, well, you can say, all right, how can I pay for a charge off? How can I get this charge off? How can I pay for it first? You're like, well, I got this charge off of my credit report. It's a year old. Well, so it's not in the statute of limitations. It's not going to be gone. So you're like, how can I pay this off? So the first thing is you set up a budget. You they call you, say, Chauncey, well, you owe this debt. You owe $5,000 on this jewelry credit card or whatever it is, a car note or something, a car that you had. You owe $5,000. And you're like, okay, well, I don't have $5,000. I don't have it right now. Well, let's set up a payment plan. You're like, well, can you pay us $200 the next 2 weeks for the next 20 weeks?
Okay.
You're like, oh, I can't afford that. So basically, if you go into an agreement with something else, that starts the account all over again.
Okay.
So now you're like, boom, they're like, we got them. You agreed on something. You're like, just to get off the phone, you agreed on something. So they're able to push the restart button.
Yeah.
So what I tell people usually is, I say, when you go into a situation where if you really need it off your credit report and you're trying to buy a house or something, get into an agreement where you can say, all right, can y'all knock some interest off of that?
Mm-hmm. I'll make the agreement provided you give me a little bit relief on the principal.
Yeah, give me a little reason on the principal and knock that interest off of them late payments off. Let's see what we can do. So that's the first thing you do. But then a lot of times I've had people do that in the past, Tony. They'll pay it off, but this is what they'll get because they didn't have the knowledge. They'll get paid charge off.
Mm.
I'm like, that's bad. It's a charge off.
Mm-hmm.
How long it was a paid charge off? Well, he had this charge off on his credit report for 3 years, and now it's a paid charge it off. Okay.
That's like what they call re-aging.
Yeah, and I drew a picture, like, on my notes of a pool with a dude with a shovel in it.
Okay.
He had the wrong equipment.
He going to get that pool empty?
Okay. Yeah. He got a shovel, but he in the pool.
He working.
In the pool with no scuba gear on, and he digging. He trying to get the water out with a shovel. And then why he's at this pool is these bottom feeders, like these crabs. It's on my picture. Look. Okay. Look what I drew. These crabs.
See? Them creditors.
And they sitting there like, come on down, buddy. Come on now. You got that shelf. You really think you're doing something to that debt.
Right.
And you're really not, because you done paid it. And now we gotta wait till the statute of limitations when it come off your credit report. So that's why when you said this a couple months ago, cash is king. So if you haven't paid them anything, get them into a written agreement where they say, hey, Tony, hey, Chauncey, we owe this debt $5,000. Okay, look, I don't really got that. Right now, let's try to knock it down to about $2,500, and I can pay that in the next year.
Okay.
If I pay that in the next year, if you say I can do 20 payments in the next year at a certain amount, I can pay $100, I can do that.
Right.
Let's do that now. Can you send me a contract or a statement saying that if I make these payments, I'll sign off on it? If you say you delete it from my credit report, or you can say pay as agreed.
Mm-hmm. That's the way to do it.
After that year? Oh, yeah. I don't know, Mr. Will. Go check with management then, please.
Right.
They go check. Oh, yeah, we got a deal. Because see, what they're thinking is, they're like, it's been 3 years.
We haven't got nothing.
Nothing.
Right.
We done made it go up to $5,000. It probably was only $3,000.
Yeah. And how much did they pay for it? Okay, because it is a charge off, right?
Yeah, it's they done paid for it.
They made it pay $500.
Yep, they made $500. So they like, we can get $2,500 right now.
Profit?
Yeah. Oh, let's go. So they'll do that. And then now you getting something, they getting something. Mm-hmm. It's coming off your credit report, or it's on your credit report as paid as agreed.
Right.
And they don't say the negative stuff no more. So now you're like, cha-ching, credit score.
That's how you do
it. Now we're going from 500 subprime community towards getting to 700. And see, I'm giving this evidence because a lot of people ask me about charge-offs, judgments, and stuff like that. So I'm like, I'm trying to move through the, like, we talked about the credit report. So now I'm trying to move through the items that I see and things I dealt with in the past.
Okay.
Of being with my shovel.
Right.
In the pool.
In the pool.
And like throwing water, but I'm throwing it right back in the pool.
Yeah.
And as I get lower and lower, the crabs are trying to get me. The creditor's like, you dummy.
Yep. You need to get out the pool.
You need to get out the pool and get some different resources. Get some different knowledge.
Yeah.
So somebody can equip you in a better situation.
And then, these charge-offs, too, is, disputing them. Okay, you have a right, especially like you say, if you go across your report and you see that a number of collection agencies have repurchased these charge-offs, there can only be one. Okay.
Yeah, it only be one.
It can only be one that actually still holds the debt. And
so
if
you
they're
got
on
four
there,
of them, that's an issue.
A simple letter. They don't need an attorney, and you just send it in to the credit bureau and to the collection agency, asking them to remove that.
And based on my history, I noticed that when I had things removed like that, I had to say those letters.
Oh, of course.
Because if you don't say them, it'll ghost on another credit report. It'll be on there. Mm-hmm. You're like, how this on? I got it off this one, but it's on here. So then you have to try to buy something. You're like, look, I got this letter that I've been paid. This is agreed. Look at this.
Right.
So then you get the loan off. So whoever there, look over that, and then you'll be able to go on. But just seeing that, it really make you think about, like, those unpaid charge-offs, and you can get them to a paid charge-off and then get them to say that it's paid as agreed. That's the benefit to you as a consumer.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got a blemish-free credit report. Because those things are the old debts.
Right.
That really can be held against you. Like, wow, he really had that like 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have bad credit for 5 years. You tell me you want to give you a 30-year loan, you can't even hold credit for 5 years.
Okay.
You want a car? You want a car for 60 months, and we can't trust you with $2,500, sir. Look at this debt. You got seven of them.
Okay.
Look, it's Bank of America.
Right.
Look at that Citizens Bank. That's Zales. That's Coins Furniture. What are you doing?
Yeah. You're in the wrong place.
Sir, these are all charge-offs. All these old debts. All they don't care.
They don't care.
They looking like, it's all about, can we trust you with the debt? So you have to get to the point when you can settle your debt. So
right.
If it's $5,000, and we talked about that, saying, all right, let's negotiate something.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk. And then that's when you get those, when they get to the point of the statute of limitations, you start getting them letters. We'll take 40% of the debt. You owed us $1,200. Well, today we'll take $500.
Mm-hmm.
The next 30 days, if you respond, we'll take $500 from you, sir. It comes in the mail. It's a little letter. It might look like a check, but it's,
right.
It's pink.
Make you open it.
Yeah, you open it. You know, settle this debt. So I've been there before. I've been on that dusty road. I've been in that pool with a shovel and say, hold up. I need to call them and respond. Because, see, things, life happens to us, Tony.
Oh, yeah.
We lose life jobs. Yeah. People have kids.
Yeah.
People
make bad financial decisions.
Yeah, make bad financial decisions. Get in relationships with bad financial people that don't manage money good, bad money managers. So it's just stuff that we have to look at and figure out, can I get my integrity back with this, with my credit report?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's my financial report card as an adult.
Right.
What kind of grades do I have? Am I on a continuum of the 900, or am I on a continuum of the 400? And that's the constant struggle every day. That's something we have to monitor every day. Just like you monitor, how your grades doing to your kids?
Right.
Same thing. How's your financial grades? And that's when you have your CPAs, your financial advisors, your banker, getting on you and letting you know, like, look, these things have to be dealt with, sir. We'll give you a loan if you do something with those charge-offs. So today I just wanted to equip them with how to settle that debt, but also looking at, when we talked about the young man, looking at social media for the kids, that's a sign there that you got to deal with your issues early on in life so they don't spill over into your business
life. Okay, very, very, very good segue.
Yep.
Because when you look at the Facebook and then you look at it from a financial standpoint, they kind of connect the dots.
Yes, they do.
Kind of look irresponsible over on this side of the ledger, but yet you're in line to get X amounts of millions. Maybe that's not a good idea.
Well, let's start you off here. Let's see if you can trust you with this.
Okay.
It could go $1 million instead of $10 million.
Ah, good segue.
Yeah. So
very good.
We don't want you to bring in a certain kind of character or a situation. We don't know who's coming with you.
Okay.
Because, see, with bad credit, it's bad relationships. So with negative comments and pictures and things like that, those two go hand in hand.
Okay.
So if you respond to certain things a certain way, every time you get in trouble or you get mad, you go to social media. Or every time you get mad as an adult and you're not on social media and you go shopping.
Oh.
You're like, I'm going to get this watch and I'm mad.
Man, I'm going to shop.
I'm going to buy this new outfit because I deserve this. No, don't buy a new outfit. Go for a walk.
For a walk.
Go get you a slushy.
Right. Cool off.
Don't go buy no new car because you feel bad. Yeah. You feel depressed or something. Don't do something like that.
3 days later, you'll be looking at it and saying, nah, I really feel stupid for buying that car.
Yep. So you got to really think about things and just selling the debt, looking at a charge off, get it to say to your best ability, paid as agreed.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get them to knock off interest and principal, when you start getting those envelopes in the mail, that means the statute of limitations is coming up. And if you get to the point where it's just totally charged off and it's old, you can fight it. And that's what I'm going to do next week, actually have a dispute letter where you can actually fight an old debt to really see that you can move on. But then you got to build new credit. And then when you have a credit report with nothing on it, that's a start that you got to start off to. So it depends on your age, and there's a lot of things that we have to look in and take in as factors. But I just wanted to share with you, I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.